It's time for Branding Business, the only show that brings branding experts and corporate executives together to explore how branding your business can improve both your top-line growth and bottom-line performance. Brought to you by Rikus Baird. And now, here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to Branding Business, and I'm Ray Baird from Rikus Baird. And today, we're going to cover one of the most important aspects of building a world-class brand, and we're going to title this Operationalizing Your Brand. We're also very pleased to have, you know, one of the industry-leading experts in the field, and we have Denise Lee Yon to share her experience and wisdom. So first of all, let me introduce Denise. Welcome, Denise, to Branding Business.
Hello, Ray. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful and really important, topic. As we build brands and position them strategically and have great strategies, there's a little thing about called introducing it and operationalizing it. And we want to spend a little time, you know, and get your overall experience. And I know that you've been specializing in this for over 20 years, and I'm looking at the, you know, the roster, which has all of the, you know, top global brands like Sony and Frito-Lay and New Balance. And I thought our listeners could really benefit from you and your experience and tell us some good stories, tips and stuff, and just kind of dive on in about, you know, how they can learn from your experience. So I thought maybe we could start off the first question, or maybe the starting point. Explain the concept and the methodology around operationalizing the brand for our listeners.
To explain what operationalizing your brand means, I almost have to start with what it is not and then talk about what it is. So what it is not is expressing, promoting, or communicating about your brand, which would include things like developing a breakthrough logo, having a really compelling look and feel, running marketing promotions, or engaging in public relations. All of those activities are critically important for building a strong brand. But those are methods of, as I said, expressing or communicating your brand. What you need to also do is to operationalize it, meaning that you want to make your brand not just what you say, but what you do. Or maybe if you think about your brand as being a promise, actually your brand needs to be a promise delivered. So there's a certain expectation that you set up when you develop a brand, and operationalize it enables you to actually deliver on those expectations.
Yeah, I think that's a good starting point. I mean, it's almost like in, you know, the operations end of any organization, whether it be, you know, manufacturing or, you know, technology, they always have, you know, systems to operationalize, you know, the manufacturing. So you're really talking about operationalizing the brand, you know, how they look at it, the metrics and the experience throughout the entire engagement. So for the people that are listening, you know, what are the key steps for them to consider when they hear this overall term?
Well, operationalizing your brand means driving your brand into your culture and your core operations and ultimately your customer experience. To do that, it's not necessarily a set of steps, but more an approach or a set of principles to follow. I have a book coming out in January called What Great Brands Do, and that book outlines the 7 brand-building principles behind operationalizing your brand. And so some of those principles include things like great brands start inside, meaning great brands really cultivate a strong corporate culture and a culture among all their stakeholders that then informs and influences everything they do. Another principle of operationalizing your brand is that great brands don't chase customers in the sense that they are clear about what they stand for and the kinds of customers that they appeal to, and by shining that light, figuratively speaking, as clearly and as consistently as possible, they actually attract customers to their brand as opposed to going out and trying to please customer segments that may not make sense. So there are principles that comprise operationalizing your brand, and there are also tools and methods that I've used with my clients to actually achieve those principles. I'm hoping that gives you some sense of what I'm talking about. I can talk in more detail if that would help.
No, I think that gives our listeners a pretty good foundation there. It's kind of counterintuitive, instead of pushing this stuff out, is to, delivering on that promise and making it part of the overall kind of process. Maybe share what might help is to share some of the biggest challenges as you see when you're dealing with overall clients on, kind of a regular basis. A lot of our listeners, when they get into saying, okay, we're going to deliver on the promise, we're going to operationalize it, what are some of the things that they may face and maybe, any examples that you have?
Your brand needs to be the responsibility of everyone in the organization, not just your marketing or advertising team. And often what happens when I go into organizations is that they are operating more within silos, they may tend to relegate brand building and brand development to advertising or marketing. And so there's a big hurdle that needs to be overcome in terms of actually getting everyone in the organization to see their role in developing and supporting the brand. And a good example of that is actually when I was with Sony Electronics. I was in their corporate marketing group heading up brand and strategy. And I was actually brought into the company because the leadership at the time, this is back now to 1999, so a while ago when Sony was still very much at its kind of peak. But even then, the leadership sensed that there was a need to ensure that Sony would continue to be strong going forward, and especially with the transformation in technology into digital technology, there was a risk that Sony would lose its competitive advantage or that would somehow be diminished. And so before we undertook a corporate marketing campaign to express to the outside world how great Sony was and how we were evolving to continue to deliver great innovations in the digital world, we needed to make sure that everyone on the inside of the company understood and shared and had a common understanding of what Sony stood for and how we were going to evolve. And the problem that I faced initially was that for many years, brands and brand building at Sony had been considered to be the responsibility of the marketing and advertising departments. So we undertook a concerted effort to engage everyone in the organization, from the legal team to the sales groups to human resources and beyond, to really help them understand what role they needed to play in ensuring, well, first of all, the importance of them sharing the understanding of what the Sony brand stood for, but then their role in interpreting and reinforcing that in their specific purview. So we did that through developing a brand toolbox that we deployed throughout the organization that had specific tools that helped people within the organization use the brand and understand it better. And then we also did a series of brand engagement programs where we really got people to get motivated and excited about the brand, again, to really engage with what the brand means to them and their specific role. We were able to successfully meet the challenge of expanding brand understanding and brand ownership.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Actually, I was just in a meeting yesterday, and the CEO asked me the question, we're getting into the brand development process. And he said, what are the biggest challenges do you think? And I said, well, it starts really with the upper leadership. If they don't have that overall kind of buy-in, how can you expect the whole organization to understand and to contribute? And that's what I hear from your end, is that you've got to, this is a corporate-wide overall initiative operationalizing the brand, and it's just not a marketing one. And we find that that's one of the biggest challenges or mistakes that people make. So I think that's really good advice. Switching gears just a little bit, in the B2B world, measurement and ROI and all those overused type of terms have become, a major part, though, for corporations. You got to deliver on, the return on investments. And maybe talk a little bit of example and idea, the rewards and positive outcomes, so that if people get into operationalizing the overall brand, what are some of the things that they can kind of expect from that and promise as they move forward and talk to their executives about?
I'll talk about two examples from kind of two ends of the spectrum. They're both technology brands, but both B2B. One of them is a very large brand of IBM. And, going back to when Sam Palmisano, the former CEO of IBM, took the reins of the company back in the early 2000s, the company was facing a pretty serious challenge think that he was basing in a culture that maybe had bred some sense of entitlement or even arrogance, if you might want to say, as well as their business model, the shifting from being dependent upon computer hardware to services and software. And by the things that he did to operationalize the IBM brand, they were able to successfully make the transition and continue to evolve their service offerings and their value proposition, and actually, I think, expand the value that they were contributing to their customers as a result of their brand efforts. So in terms of rewards and positive outcomes, I think being able to respond or even to proactively evolve your organization to take advantage of new technologies or new trends or new opportunities or new markets, if you have a strong brand and a strong brand understanding that is shared throughout your organization, you're able to be, I think, much more adaptable and nimble in order to do that. On the other end of the spectrum is a smaller organization called 37 Signals. And many of your listeners may not know the company 37 Signals, but many of them probably use the company's software called Basecamp or and some of their other project management collaboration software. And 37 Signals, the heads of the organization have really made a concerted effort to cultivate a distinctive culture that supports their brand. So their brand stands for, you know, making collaboration productive and enjoyable, and they actually run their company in a way that's productive and enjoyable as well. And in doing so, they are able to have a much larger footprint than their size would suggest. I think that they, you know, are probably fewer than 50 employees, but their revenue or sales per employee is, you know, is so large compared to kind of what the industry average is, because they have such traction about what their values are and the way they operate their business, and they're able just to be that, I think, that much more efficient and effective. And my understanding is they're all also, in terms of the benefits of having a strong culture, lower operating costs in terms of employee costs of recruiting and retention and motivation, et cetera. So having a strong culture as part of being a B2B brand and part of operationalizing your brand really does pay in your employee base and your employee costs.
I think, and we've experienced this with some of our brands, it's really around, you know, the internal performance, whether it's around employee costs or recruiting. And those are metrics that can be put into place, benchmark before you start, and then continually kind of analyzed as you move forward through the brand process. So those are really good tips and stuff. And talking about tips, maybe lastly, if you could give, you know, for the people that are going into, now they've set their overall brand, they've got the positioning, they've got all the imagery and all the things that we talked about, now they're going to operationalize it, what are some really good final tips for making this a successful venture for our listeners?
Well, you touched on it before, which is about having solid metrics in place. I do think the adage, you can manage what you measure, and I think you can be successful at what you measure, I think it really applies to operationalizing your brand. So I think it's critically important that you have the appropriate metrics in place to track your progress and understand what areas you need to really focus on. And in terms of those metrics, I would say that the balanced scorecard framework actually provides a great way of providing those metrics. So there's in the balanced scorecard, there are financial metrics. So you certainly want to be monitoring your sales and share and revenue and profit as perhaps lagging indicators of your brand strength, but nonetheless they are indicators. But also in the scorecard, there are customer metrics, which you would want to be looking at brand preference and like a net promoter score as an indication of your effectiveness with your brand. There are internal metrics in terms of your efficiency, utilization of assets, and operating costs we talked about. And then there, in the last quadrant of the balanced scorecard, are learning metrics in terms of employee engagement measurements and commitment and employee commitment and passion and alignment and understanding of your brand. And so making sure that you have all of those metrics in place, I think, is probably the most important tip I would say for making operationalizing your brand successful. But perhaps you know, we go back to where we started at the beginning of this conversation, which is that ultimately this kind of effort needs to be owned at the highest level of the organizations. And that's really what is the critical point here.
Yeah, well, I think that's really great advice. Strategy without execution can be delusional. And I think the way that, you know, that you operationalize brands is a very methodical overall approach that can be measured. I heard a few things that were key to this. One is get the commitment of the organization. In the same experience we've had is do not delegate it to just marketing. Get the overall expectations out on the table. Measure it, monitor it, and communicate it is kind of at the core of this. So really great advice. Thanks, Denise. I'm sure our listeners really appreciate, you know, the experience and tips. And we look forward to your book, what's coming out in January, What Great Brands Do. I'm sure there'll be a wonderful overall following for that, and maybe have you back on the show. And until then, for more stories, you know, on how to build your brand, come back and listen to Branding Business. And until next time, best luck in building your brands.
You've been listening to Branding Business, the only show that brings branding experts and corporate executives together to explore how branding your business can improve both your top-line growth and bottom-line performance. To hear more, simply visit our website, brandingbusiness.com, or tune in next week to learn how you, too, can build your brand and move your business forward. Brought to you by Rikus Baird.